97.9 FM WCHL Championship Sports presents The Grid. WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show. Join WCHL as we preview all the area games and the storylines you care about. All season long, The Grid is your home for all your area schools, including the Carrboro Jaguars, the East Chapel Hill Wildcats, the Chapel Hill Tigers, and all the surrounding area schools from Orange and Chatham counties. The Grid, WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show, starts now.
Hello, and welcome to The Grid with Matt and Matt. Thanks for joining myself, Matt Paul, and Matt Oakes each week as we review the games, make our picks, reveal our WCHL Chapelboro.com Super 6, and select our Grid Great of the Week. I hand it off to my co-host, Matt Oakes.
Well, thank you, Matt. Happy to be here tonight. We've got a full slate of games. Let's do a quick scoreboard recap of last week's action.
That sounds good.
What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Thank you, Jim Mora. Yes, it's playoff time, and the Orange Crush certainly didn't have any problems winning a game. Orange, appropriately, our area's top team. The Orange Crush, they thumped Rocky Mount 31-3 last week.
As usual, it was their Crush's defense that led the way, collecting five quarterback sacks. Another amazing effort.
Yeah, and Tay Jones had three touchdowns on the offensive end. Artrell Stewart had a 50-plus yard catch as well.
Yeah, we couldn't nail down Coach on the exact yardage, but that's okay. Still impressive nonetheless.
For sure.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. To the shine of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
Thanks, Freddie Mercury and company. Northwood bit the dust, getting buried by Eastern Alamance 56-21 in its first-round playoff game. Chargers had trouble in the secondary throughout the season, and that bit them again, if you will, in falling behind 35-0 at the half.
Yeah, Matt, the Chargers scored a pair of touchdowns out of intermission. They got a few things going. It was 4 and 41 yards, those scores. From their great quarterback, Ty Pennix, but let's be honest, the hole was just too far gone. They couldn't pull themselves out of that one. Also, Chapel Hill, another biting the dust. They started out strong in getting a four-yard scoring dash from Brandon Wendell.
A Grid Great of the Week recently.
Yeah, yep. But Southern Durham stormed back, as expected. They're just very tough. And quarterback Kendall Hinton posted a 40-6 win.
Amazing. 352 yards of total offense for him, and the powerhouse Spartans move on.
Great. Great of the week.
Great of the week. Oh, it's been a long season for the vocal cords too, Matt. But yes, it's great of the week time. And this week we went with Tay Jones.
Unbelievable. Excellent performance. Three touchdowns in all, one on a reception and two rushing scores. So terrific.
Definitely the MVP for the Orange as they shoulder on.
Okay, when we return to the Grid with Matt and Matt, I'm Matt Paul. Interview Northwood coach Bill Hall about his team's season-ending loss to Eastern Alamance in the Chargers playoff opener. Okay, it's time for my interview, Matt Paul, with Northwood coach Bill Hall about a Chargers season that had its share of both ups and downs.
Okay, coach, final visit of the season from me. That's the one good thing, perhaps. The bad thing is how it happened, maybe a tough opening round playoff loss there to East Alamance. What happened?
Eastern Alabama is a very good football team, and I thought it was two good football teams going into the game, and you know, they jumped on us early. I think it was 14-0, and we've ran one offensive play, and you know, you give a team like that momentum, and it's hard to come back. And you know, next thing we know, we're down 35-0 at halftime. Kids were resilient. They came out. We put two quick ones up on them in the third quarter, 35-14. If we could have got a stop there, you know, who knows what happened. You know, we have the capability to put a lot of points on the board, but, you know, unfortunately we couldn't get a stop there, and they went down and scored, and, yeah, that was about it.
That's all she wrote, huh?
That was it. You know, again, congratulations to Coach Kirby. He does a great job up there at Eastern Alamance, and, you know, I looked for them to, you know, pull an upset this Friday at Western Alamance and make some noise in this thing. I mean, it'd be a good ball game. They lost to Western 10-7 the first time around, so it should be a good ball game for them.
Yeah, they're rivals, aren't they, from what I read?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're big-time rivals.
And he's an old-time friend of yours, too, the Eastern Alamance coach. Huh? So is there anything you take away feeling good for them?
Well, you know, like losing it this time of year. It doesn't matter to who, but you know, it's like I told the kids before the game. I mean, you know, if Kadarius is playing Ty 1-on-1, they want to win that match more than they want to win any other one because they're good friends and that competitive. And the same thing, I wanted to beat John and he wanted to beat me. But when it was over, we hugged in the middle of the field, you know, wished each other good luck. And, you know, I'm pulling for him hard Friday night.
Something that should have went off in my mind was last week you said you were going to have to play some freshmen, or you decided to play some youngsters to kind of mix things up, and that should have maybe told me that there could be some trouble there in that game.
Well, honestly, defensively, we didn't play that bad. Yeah, you look at the points we gave up, and we did. But like I said, you know, their first touchdown was a pickup fumble, our first lost fumble in a long time, and they picked it up and scored, and then we muffed a punt. And so, you know, they got 14 points off the bat. Our defense hadn't even been on the field.
And they're at home feeling good.
Yeah. So, you know, but our young kids did what we expect them to do. And you know, future looks bright.
That's it. You know, the positive side is you got them in there in a playoff game, which is really exciting, and kind of throwing them into the fire there a bit. They'll be a little battle-tested. You still have a pretty young team. Your quarterback comes back one more year, correct?
Yes, sir.
And Jalen?
Yeah, we're all juniors. And, We're all juniors. We're losing eight seniors, and one of those eight seniors dressed out one time this year, and that was Friday night. He'd been recovering from a shoulder surgery. And, you know, we're losing Jay Williams on the D-line. We're losing Demetri Nobles on the O-line. We're losing Spencer Roberson and Kenton Edwards at receivers, and we're losing our two kickers, Pena and Castro.
Oh, Castro, too. He was a good kicker.
Yeah, you know, so those guys are gone, but you look at what else we got coming back. I mean, the nucleus of our team's coming back. All our skilled players are coming back, and, you know, we're looking for some exciting things next year.
And a couple of points here. Your team, as you know now, played Southern Durham, the toughest of anybody. A couple of points there. Kick, no offense to Castro, but you win that game, and maybe things are shook up a bit more, huh?
Well, yeah, and that's the only extra point we missed all year, and it was, you know, it was blocked. So, you know, there was a hand put on it, and it was blocked, and then we had to go for two that last touchdown. But, you know, that we look back at that one, what could have been, and you look back at the season, you know, our secondary, we got to get better in the secondary. And I told you from week one, you know, when we were putting a lot of points on the board, we got to keep getting better. And I think we did to an extent, but at some point in time, you know, we quit getting better. And for us to make a serious run at this conference next year and a deep run in the playoffs, we got to continue to improve in this offseason. And the kids are already asking me about the weight room and getting in there and getting started.
Good.
So, you know, we're going to give them until after Christmas, and then we're going to get on it.
Let's end this on a positive note. It was a positive discussion. You had a really good season, no doubt about it. Playoffs. What was your highlight of the season when you look back at the whole thing? What was the best game, best moment?
That's probably going to take a while. I'll have to look
back.
We'll
see you at the dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't. I'll watch the game film come time, you know, probably over Christmas break. I'll start looking back at all the films and seeing. I mean, we had some great moments. You know, beating Carrboro, who at the time was still pretty healthy for the most part. That was big. Always
3-0 start.
Always beating Jordan Matthews, your county rivals, big. You know, fourth place in this conference is not what we wanted, but, you know, it's like I told the seniors.
The head of a conference, though.
Yeah, well, like I told the seniors, when you look back at this year, you're going to have positive thoughts. I mean, we may not right now, but eventually we will. So, yeah, I can't pinpoint one thing, but, you know, we'll look back at it and see.
Matt Oakes here, and we're going to have to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we'll talk to the lone remaining head coach in the area, still alive for the state title, head coach Pat Moser and his Orange Panthers. Come on back and hang out with us on the grid with Matt and Matt. Ah, yes, the Orange Crush. They're back to their winning ways. Last week, they put a beatdown on Rocky Mount, and this week they travel out to Cleveland to face the 9-3 Rams. Let's hear from head coach Pat Moser. All right, coach, can you give us just a quick recap? That was a big win. It looked like you guys rebounded nicely, 31-3 over Rocky Mount. Did you feel your defense really refocused and got back on track?
Oh, yeah, I thought the defense played extremely well. You know, We only gave up 3 points, and someone had told me that that's the first time in about 3 years that Rocky Mount had not scored a touchdown in a game. So that was big, I thought, for our defense to step up the way they did. And you know, offensively, we played pretty good as well, but we made some mistakes and gave them the ball down deep in our own territory a couple times, and boy, our defense stepped up and stopped them. So I couldn't be more proud of Coach Smith and the defensive coaches and those guys, you know, being on target last week.
How has practice been going so far this week? What have you really been focusing on?
Well, we've had a good week of practice. We have shaved some time off on practice, and we've done what we do in practice so much that we're really just all polished right now. And we're trying to teach our kids what they're going to see, you know, this week against Cleveland. Hard to emulate that. You know, they've got a great running back and great quarterback. So we've been trying to copy what they do and get ready for Cleveland. Boy, they're a good team. So you know, we've got a lot of time in the film room watching what they do. A lot of time trying to keep our defensive ends on their keys, not biting on the fakes that they do. They run a lot of counter, and they do a real good job of running the football. So we got to be ready for that.
Kind of just in general, coach, what do you think you need to see out of your team, in particular, out on the field to give Orange the best shot at a real deep run here in the playoffs?
Well, you know, We've seen from the beginning, you know, that we have a lot of talented kids, and I think our defense is strong, and our defense is strong against the run. We have given up some points through the air to teams that can really throw the ball well. You know, I thought Northwood does that well, and they scored 21 points. Cardinal Gibbons throws well. They've scored 28 points, And then, of course, when we ran into Southern Durham, man, that's like going back to class, you know, watching how you throw the football. They're that good. And so I think we have to continue to get better on our pass defense. We've made a couple of personnel changes. We've adjusted a little bit about how we're going to look at 4 and 5 receiver teams. I mean, it's just a work in progress. It always is. We're always looking at ourselves on film. We're always looking at what we're about to face, and we're always trying to give our kids the best shot that they can have at winning. As long as our kids stay focused and continue to learn, and I think we'll be all right, and we can make a run into the playoffs. But from here on out, you have to play well, and you have to play well every week.
Coach, I know you're focused on the here and now with Cleveland, but with you and Southern Durham, one more win apiece, and you set up that rematch this time in the playoffs. Have the players been thinking about that at all, and are you using that as motivation?
Oh, absolutely. You know, our players think that they did not play as well as they could have played the first time we met, and they would love to have a rematch, another shot at it. And they, you know, they know that we have Cleveland right here, and Cleveland is a very good team, and we'll be fortunate to win against Cleveland. So we try to focus up on one win at a time, but I know in the back of their minds they would really like to play Southern again. But that's going to be tough for Southern as well. They're going to have to beat a very good Cardinal Gibbons team. So I don't think anybody can look down the road past what they're going to see on Friday night. So that's kind of what we preach, and that's what we'll do.
Yeah, two good matchups this week for both of you guys. So focusing on Cleveland now, what do you think are some of the biggest keys in that matchup that really will determine who advances?
Well, Cleveland, they have a running back with 1,700 yards. It was a Shrine Bowl kid. And they have a quarterback that is just a junior, and he's right at 1,000 yards rushing. And they do a real good job of running the football. They run counter, they run trap, they run zone read, they run option, and they just keep pounding it at you. And if you make a mistake, you know, they'll make you pay because their kids can run. If they get out and they get out in the open, they can hurt you, and they can hurt you bad. So, you know, we have to play well defensively, but I think we're going to have to play well offensively. We're going to have to score some points. The weeks where, you know, we can hold teams to zero or three are pretty much gone. You know, when you get to the second round of playoffs, teams can play, and they're not there by accident. So we know we're going to have to play well on both sides of the ball, and we've got to improve each week on our special teams.
Okay, when we return to the Grid with Matt and Matt, we'll preview our lone playoff game, reveal our WCHLChapelboro.com Super 6 poll, and take a look back at our top play of the season.
Welcome back to The Grid with Matt and Matt. Well, we have one huge playoff game tonight to preview, Matt. We have Orange at Cleveland. Pretty exciting stuff. Orange shook off its lone loss of the regular season against Southern Durham to handle Rocky Mount really easily. They have a talented offensive performer at quarterback in Garrett Clower, and backs Tay Jones and Patrick Pettiford aren't too shabby either, Matt.
Not at all. Excellent trio. It's a crushes defense, though, that you and I have both, and everybody's noticed for that. Oh. They really shine, posting four shutouts on the season, three times allowing 7 points for an 11-1 team. Their differential on the season is just amazing, isn't it?
Unbelievable. And as for their opponent, we've got to talk a little bit about them. Cleveland, the football club from Clayton, North Carolina, has come on of late. They're allowing just 41 points in their last three contests. That includes a playoff opening 33-13 win over Hope Mills Grays Creek.
Say that 10 times straight.
Hope Mills Grays Creek. How am I doing?
Excellent.
They allowed 169 in their first four contests.
Yeah, so they've really come on. And they have quite an offense. Junior quarterback Aaron Farmer and senior running back Isaac Martin are superb duo, accounting for more than 4,300 yards and 50 touchdowns between them. So pretty amazing. It should be a heck of a contest.
Yeah, now we've got to pick it.
Yeah, you first.
All right, me first. All right. Well, this is easy for me. I'm going to go with the Orange Crush. I think it will be a good game for a while, but Orange will pull away in that second half.
Yeah, I actually, in a way, that final regular season loss might have been a good thing before going into the
good
playoffs.
Point.
Might have ticked them off. I'm going to go with the Crush, too. Got to stick with them.
I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
Okay, Matt, let's do our final WCHL Chapelboro.com Super Six of the season. You feel the tension and excitement? I certainly do. Unbelievable. Let's start at number six with Cedar Ridge.
No surprise.
2-9, you know. It came on a little bit toward the end, but they are what they are, as I wrote in my notebook.
Yes, and a little bit better at number five is East Chapel Hill. 3-8. Had some nice wins this year, but not consistent enough.
No. And then Carrboro started out 3-0, looked like the team that made it to the state championship last season, but crumbled toward the end and finished out 4-7.
Yes, number three, Matt Paul, is Chapel Hill. Mm. Chapel Hill, I mean, the best 4-8 team, I'd say, in the state.
I can
say
that. History of high school football.
Let's call it like we see it. But, you know, they couldn't beat the top guys, so that's why they're at three.
Yeah. And number two is a team in my neck of the woods over in Pittsburgh. It's Northwood, 8-4.
Northwood, yep. And number one.
There you go.
No suspense, really. The Crush. Orange, 11-1, still going strong in the state playoffs. It wouldn't be anyone else.
Might have a couple of weeks left with them.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. Talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know what? Let's go ahead and pick our play of the year.
Sounds good to me, Matt. And wow, what a night. I still remember it back in October.
Amazing.
We were sitting out there at Chapel Hill High School, didn't know what kind of game to expect. They were facing the vaunted Orange Crush. Mm. But wow, it was a stalemate all game long. No one really could move across the 30-yard line on either side. And it was locked at 0-0.
I tell you what, I didn't get off my sofa. Those two games.
It was a thriller. And with seconds remaining on the clock, fourth quarter, we're thinking it's already going into overtime. No way. And magic happens.
Sends some rush around the outside. Here's Clover going to throw it deep across the middle. Got a man. It's complete. Oh, no. Oh, no. Touchdown. Panther.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
It is Kai Muller. Muller runs the post pattern and then breaks away from Jeremy Peck at the 20-yard line. It's a 55-yard strike from Clover. To his favorite target, Kai Muller. Did we just see that?
Paul, yes, we did. We saw it happen, and it was a treat. But that's it. That's all we have for tonight. We're going to toss it over to Paul over at Clayton for the big Orange Cleveland showdown.
Outstanding.
Until next time, we'll see you on the grid with Matt and Matt.